Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a very interesting guest. I know I say they're special. I say they're fascinating. I think they are. I have a great time doing this program. I hope you enjoy it. And my guest today will not disappoint. I am sure of that. I'm not going to put any pressure on him at all. Larry Doyle, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Larry's the author of In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. And that book is just released, right, Larry?
It just came out last week, and I'm very very pleased with the receptions and the reviews that it's been getting, and to be able to come on great shows like this, David.
Well, thank you so much. And they can get that book in, you know, wherever fine books are sold, and exactly. Amazon and the like. Very good.
Yep.
And you've also got a website if people want more information. Sense on Sense. I love that. So the first one is, you know, the brain part, Sense
yep.
on, and then Sense money part. So senseonsense.com. And so here's the big question that is kind of obvious. Let's first do this. Let's do a little bit of background on you.
Sure.
And because I think somebody says, okay, well, somebody's going to write a book about Wall Street and any conspiracy. What is their background? What gives them that position of insight? So tell us a little bit about what you're about and what you do. And
well, that's a great question. I have been working in and around Wall Street for 30 years. I mean, the fact is, if I were working on the sell side, meaning in one of these large banks or brokerage houses, I wouldn't be able to write this book for the
really?
Very simple reason that you're not allowed to be this forthcoming and outgoing. You just can't do it. But I did work on the sell side. I worked at some large investment banks. I culminated my career on the sell side at J.P. Morgan Chase as the national sales manager for securitized products.
Wow.
I now have my own investment advisory practice.
Okay.
And I write this this blog, and I have been writing for the last 5 years. And the blog ultimately led to the book.
Outstanding.
So I do extensive research, and I love having a voice.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you do, and I appreciate your kindred spirit on having an investment advisory practice. And I'm sure you would agree it's a wonderful thing to be an independent advisor.
No doubt about it. No sense of conflicts, no being tied to pushing of any sort of products. Understanding risk, I mean, that's really what my whole approach with my client base, and also at my blog, just the idea of, you know, where are risks, how do we define them, how do we approach them, how do we understand them. And what I would maintain, and the reason why I started when going down the road with the book,
yeah.
was the sense that I think the greatest risks that played out in 2008 were risks that weren't even known or appreciated. And what were those risks? The risks that the regulators and our regulatory system was fundamentally broken, and that investors were not being protected.
Wow. Okay, well, there you go. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, and I think a lot of people say, okay, well, first of all, thank God somebody's saying it. But also, a lot of people, if you ask the average person out on the street, they say, I don't know what happened. It's complicated, and a lot of advisors
yep.
don't even know how to answer that question. That kind of led me to one of my first questions I wanted to ask you, Larry, is why did you decide to write the book in Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy?
Well, again, the book stemmed from the blog, and the reason
okay.
why I started writing the blog was I knew what happened in terms of shoddy mortgage underwriting, excessive leverage, and why did it happen? Okay, well, greed, excessive search for outsized profits. But what intrigued me the most was, how did this happen? You know, when I worked on the sell side at these large investment banks, again, how do we grow a clean business and grow our franchise, head down, just, you know, attract quality people to the business, and, you know, just keep your nose clean and, you know, stay as far away from the regulators as possible.
That seems pretty simple.
But then when I got onto, you know, this side and the market melted down, I was like, I was so intrigued by how did this happen, meaning where the heck were the regulators?
Well, and that's kind of the question is, were they in bed with Wall Street?
Well, I've got about 5 years' worth of research. The entire book is referenced and documented. There are about 150 original documents, some of which go all the way back to the 1930s in terms of the initial regulation on Wall Street. And I think my case, it's a very compelling case. And regrettably, they were and they still are in bed with Wall Street.
Well, it's a lot to chew on, and I would encourage people, I'm going to get my own copy and dig into this, and I encourage people to take a look at it. The book is In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. Larry Doyle is on the line. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Lots of more good stuff. Stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Doyle is on the line with me. He is author of In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. And I sometimes call myself this, Larry, so I hope you won't mind. He is a industry insider. He's seen it from both sides and works as an investment advisor just like me. I like that. That's cool.
Yep.
So let's get to one of the other things I think a lot of people are scratching their heads about, Larry, and I think you could probably speak to this based on all the research and your own experience.
Yep.
If we've had the market rise so much since, you know, the bottom in March of 2009,
yep.
Why is Main Street, instead of Wall Street, Main Street, why and regular everyday people, why are they still hurting?
Well, because I'll tell you what's going on. When the markets melted down in 2008, the sectors of the market that I was involved in basically shut down, and those were the securitized markets. So what did the Federal Reserve do? They said, okay, fine, we will put our balance sheet to work. And through this whole quantitative easing program, and they've injected $3 trillion into the system. And in doing that, support the markets, bubble up asset valuations in the hope that the economy would gain some traction.
Mm.
Now, bubbling assets is one thing, but hope is not an economic policy. And right now, that's really the major disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. The asset bubbles have not generated significant traction in the economy, driving both job growth and, more equally as important, if not even more so, you know, growth in income.
Yeah, that's very insightful, Larry, because just because people's financial statements or their investment statements are going up, that doesn't necessarily translate to jobs for everyday people.
It doesn't, and it hasn't. I mean, what we have seen here is with interest rates, with the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates at zero, what they're doing is they are compelling individual savers, many, you know, senior citizens who would, you know, just be more than happy to take 2% or 3% on short-term CDs.
Yeah.
And they're compelling them to put the money to work in the marketplace.
Mm.
Again, in the hopes that, you know, companies will start to, start growing their business. Companies continue to hoard cash.
Yeah, that's true.
And we just haven't seen, organic growth. I would maintain that what the Fed should do, instead of all this quantitative easing, you know what? Go start putting, you know, pumping money into the community banking system,
and get them
the money
lending
into the marketplace and into the real economy, not the markets.
I'm with you. Put it on the ground and out in the communities, as opposed to, you know, it bolstering the Wall Street. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
That very much is the bottom line, and this is again why there's a major disconnect. I mean, well over 95% of our people, the population in our country, have seen their incomes flat to down over the course of the last 15 years.
Well, that's not good. That's
not
good at all.
That is not good. But again, what I maintain is, it's not just that. If you know, I think Americans understand, okay, you know, Wall Street sends hundreds of millions of dollars to Washington. Washington sends back to Wall Street, you know, lax regulation, but they don't feel the specifics. The reason why I wrote my book was, you know, I lay out specific situations of people, individual investors who have been abused, in which we've seen evidence destructed in arbitration cases, in which we've seen misappropriation of funds. We've seen whistleblowers who are intimidated or fired. You know, just heinous sort of behaviors on the part of regulators where you would just say, wow, you know, they're protecting the industry instead of upholding their mandate to protect investors. And that's when I said, this is a conspiracy.
Yeah, well, that's the part that really puzzles me. And I was going to ask you that, and you beat me to it. I'm glad you did. Is that, you know, that you do see the whistleblowers, you do see the people that are... that are punished for bringing things out, and it, you know, it makes people very, very reluctant to bring complaints. And one thing I think that's related to that, because I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about, is the regulatory structure that oversees Wall Street and the brokers and all of that. Let's do this. Let's grab a quick break. Larry Doyle is our guest. In Bed with Wall Street, the conspiracy crippling our global economy. Quick break. We'll come back and talk about the regulation in detail. Stay right there.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Doyle, In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. That's the book, the website, senseonsense.com. And I kind of said that before the break there, Larry. So the regulation, part of what sometimes people don't understand is there's, you know, you got the Securities and Exchange Commission, but you've also got FINRA. So I think that's something we need to speak about because that's a self-regulatory agency.
That's exactly right. And I think the overwhelming percentage of people in our nation don't understand the implications of a self-regulatory model for the industry and the impact that that has on them as investors. When I started to look into this organization in very quick short order, I thought, wow, here's a self-regulatory entity, you know, funded by the major banks, funded by all the brokers, though.
Yeah, that's right, all the broker dealers.
And large banks. And to think that, you know, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, or whatever, is going to fund a regulator that will in turn aggressively regulate them, that to me was like, wow, that to me seems like a conflict of interest. But this model has been in place since 1939. The history of this organization, as well as their predecessors, anything but exemplary. When I looked deep, and I mean, I've looked at all the documents, ultimately I would say that this entity is really nothing more than meter maids.
Well, I tell you what's really striking to me, Larry, and because I have been a student of this industry for, you know, 20-some years. And one of the things that always struck me is, and I'd love for your insight on this, what's always struck me as weird or puzzling is that, you know, with the access to information that's now available through the internet, people can go to FINRA.org. They can go and they can look up and they can check on brokers. They can check on broker-dealer firms. And they can see the history. And you look at some of these brokerage firms that are well-known names in the industry. And you do a search and you see complaints and fines and regulation and fines and fines and complaints and lawsuits and all this stuff. But it seems like the average person just doesn't even know that that's all. I don't get that. That's always, I've always been baffled that, you know, that if somebody would do business with XYZ firm and you go and you look and they got all this junk.
Regrettably, for many people in our nation, you know, finances and investments, this is unfortunate. It's almost like a foreign language.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. They don't know where to start. And this is why I maintain that people should really try to engage somebody who is going to act in your fiduciary interest, meaning they've got the obligation that they're going to act in your best interest.
Well, Larry, they've heard that term on this show, I can guarantee you.
There you go.
Our regular listeners know what a fiduciary is. But,
yep.
You know, I think that if anybody's out there listening, I'm sure Larry would agree with me on this. If you're working with an advisor or broker and you haven't been to the regulatory website to take a look, you really owe it to yourself to make sure you know. I'm not saying everybody's got problems. I just think it's smart to know who you're working with.
Without a doubt. You wouldn't just give money to somebody who showed up at your front door, right?
No.
So you similarly do some background checks, but David, I got to tell you though, there was a period of time at FINRA for 2.5 years, from early 2009 to late 2011, the complaints that were lodged against brokers, it actually had an expungement rate of 96%.
Holy moly.
I mean, which again is just shocking on its face. And that's, again, this isn't to say that every complaint has got validity, because
right.
plenty of complaints don't.
Right, right.
I mean, there are some ambulance chases out there.
Sure.
And there are plenty of frivolous complaints, but not 96% of them. And so ultimately, again, take your time, do your homework, get to know the individual, and figure out, you know, where he's coming from. You have to understand your risks. It's critically important. And ask for disclosures, go through it, be patient.
Yeah, don't be in a hurry.
Don't be in a hurry.
And you know what else, too? I think that this is another natural thing, and it's also a reflection of, as you said earlier, about this being a foreign language. I call it Finglish, you know, and we got to, you and I have to translate it to English all the time for people. But, and I hate to say it this way, but there's no other way to say it. And that is, a lot of times people will trade or decide to do business with somebody because they seem like a nice person and they got a nice personality and or they're a good golfer. And boy, there's a whole bunch more to it than that.
No. Don't do that. Learn your stuff. Take your time.
It doesn't have to be anything you rush into. And this is the kind of stuff that I think that is important for people to know. And that's why I wanted you on the program, Larry. You talk about a lot of what happens in your book, In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy, because you get people some insight into what really goes on.
Well, again, that's why I started my blog, just to be, kind of a public service. With the book, we just try to take it to a whole new level. Transparency truly is the great disinfectant. Collecting information, connecting the dots, you know, just so that there's a fuller understanding. The book is an apolitical book. It's eminently readable. It's not work. For perhaps people who are more interested, it's got an extensive index with 150 reference documents.
Wow.
But again, it's all about putting information out there that these are public documents, but they're somewhat arcane. I put them into a narrative that everybody on this show will be able to understand it.
That's excellent, 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 excellent. Larry Doyle is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to come back and hit one more important subject, which is, what do we do about this? Is there a hope for real reform on Wall Street? Stay right there.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Larry Doyle's our guest, In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. You know, I can't say the title of your book, Larry, without a little bit of drama or theatrics in my voice, because it's such a compelling title. I compliment you, and the website is senseonsense.com. So here's, you know, again, we talked earlier about some of the challenges and or real shortcomings that are out there. Is there a hope for real reform on Wall Street? I mean, what I mean, we talked about the some of the self-regulation, but is there hope?
There's definitely hope. There's definitely hope. And what do we need? I would hope that. First off, let's put it this way: investors, to a larger extent, aren't playing as much in the markets. I mean, volumes are down over 50%.
Yeah.
You've got to believe that the people on Wall Street are like, okay, how do we increase trading volumes?
Right.
Well, and what do they have to do? They have to be more transparent and they have to give more disclosures. So what are some of the reforms that I'm proposing? I'm proposing that the regulators mandate an outline of risk parameters with greater disclosures. Let's start putting this stuff into basic English.
Basic English, and put it in writing. You know, I think if somebody really knew, if somebody really understood exactly the nature of the relationship that the advisor, whoever they are, and whatever they particular way they decide to do business, but they really understood the nature of their employment relationship, because a lot of people don't realize, as you know, Larry, that a broker who is associated with a broker dealer is an employee.
That's right.
And they don't know that. So I think if we could get the big answer here, and that's why I was excited about having you talk about your book, is education, because people
totally.
Just don't know about the deals and the contracts, and people don't realize that a broker might be handed look, this is a list of things that you are to recommend to your clients, period. You can keep your job if you do this. So I think the reform has to follow full disclosure and a lot more clarity. And the other thing is the old saying, follow the money.
Totally.
Right? I mean, if I have somebody that does business with me, and I don't know how how you do this, Larry, but if I have somebody who does business with me, I tell them precisely how we're going to be compensated, how much we charge them.
Yep.
If we get money from anybody but them, we tell them exactly who, when, where, how.
I point out in my book, David, that there should be a comprehensive listing of all fees, costs, expenses, loads, charges. That's the thing is, I mean, there's all these different ways to define how the person who's selling the product is getting paid. There should be one point where all those costs are comprehensively outlined and defined so that somebody knows exactly what the product costs.
I couldn't agree more, Larry, and I don't want people to think we're having this love fest
because no,
I think
we just
both believe in this strongly.
Well, this ultimately is the essence of good business.
It is, and you know what? The final question I'm going to say should be on that. If we could have some sort of disclosure, or we have some sort of all this, the final question that has to be on there, it's a box, and it's a yes or no, and the question is, are you a fiduciary?
Totally.
Because what people don't get is there's a couple different roles that an advisor can take. They're either a salesperson, or they are an advisor, or they're going to be paid, or they're going to be compensated. And they're treating that person as a customer.
Yep.
And if it's suitable, if it's okay, if it's an okay thing, it may not be the best, but it's okay. Then with that suitability standard, they can provide that to. They can sell it. They can recommend it. Whatever term somebody wants to use. Over on the fiduciary side, if they are saying, I'm telling you what to do, I'm advising you, that's a client relationship.
That's exactly right. And the industry I needs to, move in that direction. I think that it will, but you know what?
It's a juggernaut, though.
It's a huge juggernaut. It's a huge juggernaut. But this is where the customer needs to be prepared. How do you get prepared? You got to get information, challenge those who engage you, and ask them for the outline. Outline the risk. Put them in writing. Outline the fees and costs. Put it in writing. And if they can't or won't do that, well, there's your answer. And then go find somebody who will.
Wow, you just quoted me like 50 times. I've said
there
that.
There you
Larry.
Go. I mean, great minds thinking alike here.
Well, and it's not that complicated. And you know what? But the consumer's in control here. The investor's
right.
in control. I think people don't realize that. You know, we can we invest, and we vote with our money. And I had a completely unrelated example. I had a disappointing encounter with an airline recently. And you know what? I don't have to fly on that airline. I can fly on other airlines. And
right.
it's the same with this. And if everybody, in our country decided they wanted to have, they only wanted to buy a car that had, four doors, well, guess what? all the cars would be four doors.
Bingo. Again, if your capital, protect it, use it, invest it wisely, but find people who are truly acting in your interest as a fiduciary. And you know what? Build wealth slowly over time.
Yeah, that's the key. Don't know shortcuts. Larry Doyle, ladies and gentlemen, read the book, In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. Larry, thank you so much for being on the program.
David, this has been a total pleasure, and I thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.